One of the caveats of a scripture reading like today's is our tendency to mentally check out, so to speak, when we hear them. Often when we read or we hear well-known scriptures, we gloss over them, but we don't really listen to them. A well-known scripture may be so important to our lives of faith that when we hear them, our brain automatically takes us to that important place in our spiritual journey and what that particular scripture means to us or meant to us at a particular time and place. And then we may fail to let them move us or show us something new. Truly, the Beatitudes, like we heard this morning, are so well known that I would venture to guess that at least half of us have taken a class that's centered around them, and all of us have probably heard one or two sermons on them in our lifetime. They're so familiar that our brain thinks, aha, I know this, and then we don't listen quite as intently as we do when it's something a little more unknown. But the Beatitudes are one of those texts that we should come to time and time again. We should remind ourselves of their message, immerse ourselves and ground ourselves in what they have to offer. We should try to hear them again for the first time. So before we get any farther, I invite you to close your eyes, clear your mind, and simply listen as I read them again. Perhaps this time around you can pay attention to a particular word or phrase that may stick out to you. Hear God's word. When Jesus saw the crowds, he went up the mountain, and after he sat down, his disciples came to him. Then Jesus began to speak and taught them, saying, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. One of my favorite movies of all time came out in 2003 and is called The Pirates of the Caribbean. So this might be because I've always loved pirates, even as a child. My favorite ride at Disneyland, Disney World, was Pirates of the Caribbean. So in part, I think I loved the movie because I loved the ride first. And I just loved all the clever references and jokes that incorporated the old Disney ride. I'm also unashamed to say that I love Captain Jack Sparrow, the main character. I do apologize, but he just makes me laugh, and my poor family has to put up with me quoting some of his lines, such as, "I think we've all arrived at a special place spiritually, ecumenically, grammatically." "I love weddings, drinks all around." You can just ask David, Eric, or Audrey about the time that I met him at Disneyland. While it was one of my finest moments, it might be one of their most embarrassing. And yes, I am aware that he's a fictional character, but Disney is the land of imagination and wonder, so just let me enjoy my moment. Of course, if you've seen the movie, other characters have great quotes too. And another that I enjoy is the evil Captain Barbossa's, when he's talking about the pirate code, which were the rules that the pirates were governed by. At one point, however, he says in his pirate accent, which sadly I can't replicate and I wish I could, but he says, "The code is more what you would call guidelines than actual rules." Now, no, I'm not comparing the Beatitudes to the Pirates' Code. But there is something about thinking of the Beatitudes as guidelines that makes sense to me. Scholars like to point out the significance of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount as comparing it to Moses receiving the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. Those are rules written in the imperative. Do not kill. Do not steal. The Beatitudes, on the other hand, are not written in the imperative, but instead are written in the indicative. They express simple statements or facts which describe the community of faith. Jesus is here, bringing with him the fulfillment of the law and the prophets, and he is teaching everyone what being a disciple of Christ is all about. The Beatitudes guide us into Christ-like living. They're guidelines for life as a community of faith, principles which should lead all of us to go and do something. In college, I was a religious studies major, not a Christian studies or biblical studies major, but truly a religious studies major. And my focus was on religious philosophy of thought and more fringe religions. Think the Shakers, Branch Davidians, Heaven's Gate. And one of my favorite classes that I took was with Professor Ishwar Harris, who was from India and was a professor of Eastern religions. He's well known for his study on Gandhian philosophy. And the class was entitled The Life and Thought of Mahatma Gandhi. We spent the whole semester studying Gandhi, his life, his works, and his lasting influence. The class itself was fascinating, and it was especially interesting that most of our reading material for the class were books from India that Ishwar had secured on his many trips back and forth. One such book is entitled The Message of Jesus Christ, which was published in 1964, and is a series of questions and answers on Gandhi's beliefs and thoughts about Jesus. If you have a working knowledge of Gandhi, then you're well aware that Jesus' Sermon on the Mount was of great importance to him. Gandhi wrote and spoke about it often. And in 1921, he said, "If modern-day Christians would cling to the Sermon on the Mount, which was delivered not merely to peaceful disciples, but to a groaning world, they would not go wrong." And speaking years later, Gandhi said, "I can tell you that in my humble opinion, much of what passes as Christianity is a negation of the Sermon on the Mount." And I have to tell you, I agree with him. Christianity, or Christians, have messed up big time, not only when we look throughout history, but also when we look at the everyday. Instead of being peacemakers or pure in heart, we've often used our power to hurt others or to perpetuate broken and hurtful systems. We have at times been a closed-off community, which is more concerned with our own needs over the needs of others. We have used a set of guidelines, if you will, not as instruction to do better and to seek God's kingdom, but instead have used them to defend behaviors that are, in fact, not very Christ-like. The Beatitudes are blessings to us as Christians, but they should also push us to do better. We are all blessed to be a blessing. In other words, God blesses all of us to then go out and to show God's love and blessing to others. So if the Beatitudes help guide us to go and to do something, what does that look like? How can we be a blessing to others? For starters, I don't think we really have to look much farther than Micah for how to do this. Micah 6, verse 8 is another very well-known verse and one of my personal favorites. What does the Lord require of us but to do justice, to love kindness, and to walk humbly with our God? God has blessed us in so many ways, the most important being that we have the gift of Christian hope that this, the way our world is now, isn't what God intended. We need not look any further than our front doors or the news headlines to see a broken and a fearful world. Life is not what God intended for us, his beloved creation. Whether it be the evil and the destruction in the news or the evil and the destruction that we grapple internally, life is hard and anything but peaceful. But one of the blessings that God has given us, though, are eyes to see this and voices to cry out that this is not how it's supposed to be. This is not the life that God chooses for his beloved children. And this, in turn, allows all of us to work for a better world, to hope for a better life. We are all blessed to be a blessing in God's hurting world. We can all do a better job of living like the Beatitudes guide. What gifts has God given you that you can use to bless others, to show others God's loving kindness and mercy? This can be a hard question, and we're often quick to dismiss it, feeling unworthy or perhaps overwhelmed. There's a lot of hurt out there, and we all struggle to grasp that we can actually help make a difference. But with God, we can. Each and every one of us can be a blessing as we go about our daily lives. Do you return or give a friendly smile or a hello to those that you meet in public? I don't know about you, but I'm usually running from thing to thing and from place to place, and I can tell you that sometimes I have a bad habit of not even really noticing what's going on around me. I may use that time waiting in line at the store to quickly return a text or an email or make my mental checklist on what needs to be done next. But other times, I slow down and I take in the world from a sociologist's point of view, really absorbing what's going on around me. It doesn't take long to see others who are stressed or lonely or struggling. A friendly greeting or a smile, or perhaps even letting someone go before you at the stop sign or in line at the store, could be a blessing for another person to realize someone else cares and notices them. We can be a blessing as we give to others from our abundance. Our mission needs drive begins next week, and every year I find it a blessing to see all of the tables fill up with your donations. For those of you who might be new to Westminster, beginning February 9th, there'll be tables set up in the hallways supporting area local missions. We collect the things that they need, everything from diapers to appliances to sheets and towels to toiletries. The list of all the needs will be published very soon and emailed and posted at the church. Today, all of you and all of our youth are a blessing. In a little bit, they're going to push the shopping cart down the aisles, and all of you will offer your food and donations as a blessing to the families and children who attend Gillam Elementary School and Sheldon High School. At Christmas time, the Gillam Parent Teacher Organization sent home food baskets for the holiday break to food insecure families, and they were filled with your donations. A family sent back a thank you note. The first part of the thank you note was written in a child's careful yet imperfect handwriting, and she said, "Thank you for the food. I enjoyed everything." And then the mom wrote, "Your generosity is greatly appreciated." My friends, we are blessed to be a blessing. Do you work in the community in a service group such as the Lions or Kiwanis or the Shriners? Or do you serve in a group like the Symphony Guild, an alumni association, a PTO, an athletic group? Do you spend your time serving political or environmental causes? If you answered yes, do you consciously think about how you can share God's blessings during your time in those places? You are blessed to be a blessing. Do you or have you invited other people to this place? Do you share what your faith means to you? These two are ways to be a blessing. Each and every one of us can treat others with God's loving kindness, both within and outside these walls. In fact, it is more important to do this out in the world in which we live. When we leave this place, we scatter to serve. Sometimes it is easy and sometimes it is downright difficult. But with God, it is always possible. We are all blessed to be a blessing. Old and young, male and female, working or retired, all of us. We belong to this community, called by God, centered around Christ to be a blessing, while sharing the message of hope that our world is so desperately craving. It is a message that lives out the truth that one day crying and pain will be no more. Peace will reign. Mercy will pour down. And love will win. You are blessed beyond measure. In a few minutes, we will all be fed with the bread of life and the cup of salvation, real blessings from God that allow us in turn to go and bless others. Let us all go out from this place to be a blessing in our world that so desperately needs it. Let us be a blessing. Let us do justice. Let us love kindness. And let us walk humbly with our God. And at the risk of sounding completely corny, in the same vein as Captain Jack Sparrow loving weddings, maybe our saying should be, "I love God. Blessings all around." Amen.